Thinking of our sister Elin with one of the tumors the size of a tennis ball in her lung, very much at risk for any kind of respiratory infection. She really wants to get well enough to at least be back here, to be at worship with us all. As we come to the table tonight, ask you a question. Has anyone ever tried to arrange a date for you, set you up to go on a date? Maybe your mom has this wonderful young man that she knows, and she wants to arrange a lunch for you to meet him. Or maybe your roommate knows this wonderful young lady and is eager to set up some evening where all of you can go out to dinner together. And depending on where you are, if you're up for it, you say, okay, well, tell me about him, tell me about her. You ask a few questions. What's he like? What's she like? How do you know her? Whom does he hang out with? And then you ask the super shallow, but the all-important question. You have a picture. And sometimes they'll tell you things, and sometimes they'll show you a picture, and for some of the things that you hear or see, you say no, or hard no, or no. You can just tell in some cases it would not be a good idea. They tell us that Jesus became a man and he experienced all temptation, just as we do, yet without sin. But some people will say to that, but Jesus was single. Jesus was never married. So how could he know about all of those kinds of temptations that come with marriage? Reader, he married us. In one of the great mysteries of Christian theology, the Apostle Paul tells us, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It is scandalous if you really understand what he has just described and said here in Ephesians 5. But with all due reverence, Paul says, Christ did marry. He married us. He saw the profile, he heard, he was set up, and he said, yes, I do. Did he know what he was getting into? Totally. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. Ezekiel 16:8, he said, I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. He saw everything about you. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. So in this meal we take bread, the body of Christ stripped and struck for us. And in this meal we take wine. He washed us in the blood of his cross and makes us clean and pleasing. These are the wedding rings he brings to the wedding. When you take the supper, you say this, Jesus is my husband who knew me before I knew him. And so, in this new Passover meal that Jesus arranged, this new covenant meal, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We're looking for him to feed us as we do this. So, if you have come to know God the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit removing the veil from your heart, through the work of Jesus Christ, his Son, and you're a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, we're inviting you, come, take this supper. It's your supper that Jesus has set for you. If you don't know Jesus this way, you are looking into Christianity, you have not decided, you're certainly not committed, and you're here, we are very glad that you're with us. But this supper is only for people who are in this kind of marriage, so don't take the supper. But do stay here. We're glad you're here. Just sit back, take it all in. We would love to talk more about it if you have questions. So now let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you tell us that your love, The height, the breadth, the width, the depth of it is beyond knowledge, but you want us to know it. And so we pray that as we take the supper, we would come with the fear of the Lord, trembling with humility, but also with great hope, and that your love would be magnified in our sight. This is Christ, come to us. We pray, come to us, Lord, spiritually, nourish the good work that you've begun and will surely perfect. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.